Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
So, as mentioned, if you weren't here when we started, why not? Just joking. If you weren't here when we started, I was mentioning that Chris and I were able to get away for a conference, a pastor's conference. We did it last year. The condition I went in last year was very different than the condition I went in this year. Last year, honestly, I was debating whether I'd still continue in ministry. This year, I knew I was continuing in ministry. I was like, help Lord to continue in ministry. But I want to share a little bit about that. So interesting, though, as Steve was here, how many were here when Steve was here? Awesome. I'm going to give you a date. Next week, he'll be back in the spring, and we actually, by the looks of it, will have the privilege of hosting a conference for pastors for his organization on the Saturday, but they're actually going to come join with us on the Friday to do our encounter, summit encounter, and so that'll be really cool to have other pastors in the house and leaders and us all worshiping together, and we'll see what God wants to do. So that'll be our kind of first thing in a while, which is awesome. But he said this, he said, look for the rain, it falls like rain. You remember him saying that if you were here? He said, whatever God's doing, it's going to fall like rain, and you're going to hear it in different places. So I went, and it was interesting, on the way there, he texted me, he's like, look for the rain. I'm like, oh yeah, I've got to look for the rain. And interesting, before we even left, so how many remember the last time he came, and then, so the time before this previous one, and this one, he talked about Anna Green Gables. How many remember that? If you weren't, the simple story of Anna Green Gables is that the brother and sister, which I totally forgot as a brother and sister. I thought they were husband and wife, but brother and sister. They want a boy to help on the farm. So they didn't know you could, you know, schedule somebody, you know, to come adopt a specific gender. But they want a boy, so they order a boy, however that works. And when Anna Green Gables, when he gets to the train station, he realizes, because he's looking all over for the boy, and he gets a girl. He gets something that he didn't expect, and he doesn't want it. So it's really interesting because Krista wins these tickets. The night we're supposed to leave, we have to get up at 2:30 in the morning. So we got to get to Detroit, try to get a little bit of sleep. And then she wins these tickets to Chrysler Theater, and it was called The History of Dance, and it was phenomenal. Like, we're like, do we want to do this? We're like, we never win tickets, so let's go. And so we go, and they do the Nutcracker, and they do these famous dances that are Canadian, like very, very high-class Canadian dancers. But then all of a sudden, they go, and he comes out every time, and he's like, so the next one we're going to do is Anna of Green Gables. I'm like, Anna of Green Gables isn't even a dance. And so they do this dance with Anna of Green Gables, and guess what scene it is? It's Anna arriving at the train station, and he's there trying to decide what he's going to do because he pictures his sister at home getting totally angry. And I'm like, how do you make a dance out of this? But they did. So when he says it falls like rain, keep your eye open, because who expects to see Anna Green Gables at a dance? Like, Becca, where's Becca? Becca. Is that common to see Anna Green Gables at a dance, like The History of Dance? There is a musical. See, I didn't know that, but I thought it was very interesting. I should have just not have asked you. That's so rare. But there's a musical. Did you guys know there's a musical? I didn't know there's a musical. So here's something else. So I believe that God is trying to get our attention. Because we didn't have to win tickets. I believe God's trying to get our attention, and I'll share why. Because that message goes exactly with probably one of the best sermons I've ever heard in my life. In the sense, not how it was delivered, but the words that were delivered. So here's something else that I believe. When I got the title "Return" for this message, I knew it would both be a sermon and a declaration and a call. So it's a declaration and a sermon and a heartbeat for us to return to the things of God, the simplicity. But I also felt like it was putting a word out there, an invitation to return for people. That was part of my declaration. Lord, we want to see people return. So I believe we're going to see suddenlies in this area. I'll tell you why. Because again, you look for the rain. I don't even know where we were at. I think we were close to the hotel and we're just talking and pulling in the driveway of the hotel. And Krista goes, you know, so we're in California. We're not at Bethel. We're actually in Sacramento at Jesus Culture. But all Krista goes, you know what? Whatever happened to Eric Johnson? Because Eric Johnson moved from Bethel to start his own work. She's like, whatever happened to Eric Johnson? Like, we don't hear much about him. What is he doing? And I had seen enough to go, you know, I know he started to work and he's just plowing away. And we're like, oh, okay. Walk into the hotel. Oh, it's Eric Johnson staying at our hotel. Got a chance to say hello, and that was about it. The point I want to make is that was a suddenly. Where is, oh, there he is. And I believe that's the season we're going to enter into. And our hearts need to be praying for, and our hearts need to be prepared for as people come. Right? Because I don't know about you, but maybe somebody left and it really hurt. It tore your heart. I can say that for everyone that left. Maybe there was even deeper offense. Maybe there were words spoken. And how we respond if somebody walks through our door is going to determine whether they become part of the family again. And we want to see every person part of the family that God wants part of the family. Amen? Amen. All right. Why don't you get your Bibles open? We're going to go a few different places. You can start with Exodus. Just turn to Exodus 33. A couple other things he said, Steve Schroeder, when he was here. The day that he saw this happen, he said this, the Lord spoke to him and said, it has begun. Now, it's interesting. I don't know what that does for you, but it's easy to think of things that you think are going to happen. And I want you to know that don't, like, clear your slate. Don't try to write in what has begun. Just simply go, oh, God's moving. It's begun. We need to have a blank slate of what God's doing. Amen? He said face-to-face encounters, which I believe, without knowing it, you know what? When we got this set up together, the only thing that I wanted to do was to get into worship together. Like, my goal was simply, man, it feels like we're disconnected. It feels like we're worshiping separately. How do we get together and somehow worship? How are we not the band? How can we stop being the band and start worshiping together? And that's all this was. And then, you know, some decorations and a circle because it made sense. And yet, I've watched what God's doing. How many know face-to-face is uncomfortable? How many know face-to-face can be uncomfortable, right? All you have to do is watch the video, and you can see people, and I can see people. I can see Eric, and Erica can see me. And all of a sudden, where maybe you were hidden, now you're exposed. But here's what I wrote these down. And you're going to help me, because maybe you can think of a few more. There are only a few situations that I can think of that we do life face-to-face. The dining room table is face-to-face. How many know that when you have a meal together, and by the way, it's so cool to look through scripture and begin to see how often they did meals together, and they did it face-to-face, right? Cool story. This gentleman, I don't even know his name, but I was listening to him on a podcast one day, and he came back to a church, he went to a church, and now he was there for a while and realized that there was no youth ministry. And he's like, Lord, what do you I'm sure you want something to be done. There's a few youth around. And the Lord said, I want you to do something about it. Well, that's not what he expected. You know, you pray for somebody else to come in and do something. And he's like, Lord, well, what do you want me to do? What should I do? And the Lord said, I want you to build a dining room table and invite them to come. So he built a dining room table that sat 50 people, something crazy. If you build it, they will come. And this was Texas. So he had like ribs and wings and all these things. And he simply put out an invitation. If you want to come eat, you can come eat at my house. He said not one chair was left in that place. He had one or two, I think it was, two two rules that he wanted. He said, your phone's going to basket, not on the table, because we're going to have face-to-face talk. And when somebody's speaking, everybody listens. That became their entire youth ministry. And they saw, I believe, hundreds saved as they sat around the table and face-to-face. And he realized quickly, most of these kids have never been in a dining room and had a converse, like had dinner like this. And it was a brand new experience. And I think that's the enemy. That's what the enemy's doing. He's keeping us from face-to-face experiences. At one point during the conference, he said, everybody look up. And he said, I'm serious, look up. And so everybody's like, why are we looking up? He says, because we have our face down all the time and we should be looking up at him. And it was like the whole room got quiet, like, ugh. He's like, I'm saving you medical procedures and chiropractor visits. He said, stop looking down and look up. I thought it's a reminder. We need to look up. Okay, so face-to-face around dinner tables. Face-to-face around campfires, right? Have you ever seen anybody line up chairs when there's a whole area for circles and in a row and everybody sits in a row and watches the campfire? No, it's natural to put chairs around the campfire. You want to be around the fire, right? So the third one I remembered. I want you to, if you know any more, but the third one I thought is, what do teams do when they need to get together? They huddle face to face. Detroit Lions tonight, they will huddle. They will either be saying, we're doing it, or they'll be praying, dear God. But it's a face-to-face. They see each other's face. It would be weird if they're huddled up in a straight line. That's not a huddle. Trying to give instructions. You can't give instructions unless you can see each other face-to-face. But it's interesting that we have created life to actually be lived now, not face-to-face. Most of our communication is done via texting. We don't even hear ear-to-ear, voice-to-ear. We now actually text each other. So then when we get in front of each other, like we're like uncomfortable, like, do I turn? Because I'm not used to speaking. And there's actually this thing called social anxiety because people, they're not in front of people. And social anxiety skyrocketed with COVID because everybody did it at home. And all of a sudden you can smell their breath. You can sense how what they've, and it's just odd. Can you think of anything else that you do face to face? Hug. That's good. Affection. Now you could go into, I yell at somebody face to face, but we're talking good things. Especially let's go with group because you could think of a few things you do face to face, but what about a group? What do? I can't think of a lot of things you do face to face. You play a game, right? Again, if you play a game, you don't stand in a line. You are around usually a table face to face. It's never as good on Facebook. Yeah, singing happy birthday. And it's funny, you gather around something again on a table. When the first time we did this the day after, and thank you again for just being so receptive to worship. I walked away, first of all, going, Lord, that was a beautiful time of worship. And then I thought, God, I got to wonder if that's what the New Testament church looked like. Obviously, they didn't have the instruments like they, you know, we do. But I highly doubt they got into houses and put rows of chairs down. They crammed into houses and they just worshiped all together. And I think God is in this and doing something. Amen. You can shake your head if you need to. So here's a couple of things. What do we gather or look to? Stages, TVs. These are things that we gather around that aren't always good. Doctrines, denominations, visions, and assignments. And yet God wants to gather around the fire of God and his presence. And we're going to get into that, right? Okay, you guys in Exodus. Let me tell you a little bit about this conference I was at. It was a specific pastor's conference. Banning Leibscher from Jesus culture had gathered different pastors. And one of the things I want to say that was so cool was that every pastor had the same heartbeat, but every church looked different. Did you hear that? I'll say it again. Every pastor had the same heartbeat, But every church that spoke, when you heard them, all their churches were different in how they functioned. And it's easy. A lot of times you want to get there and you want to go, okay, what are they doing to be successful? And you're like, oh, that's how they do it. Maybe, oh, I wasn't actually honestly thinking this, but I used to. I used to always be like that. How do I do what they're doing? And then the next guy would get up and you could easily go, oh, look what they're doing. Maybe we should do that to be successful. Oh, my goodness, they're doing, I don't know what to do. Because here's the key. Here's the punchline. It's all about doing what the Lord asks you to do. Because this is the thing. This is where we're going to go to. Every person, every group, every generation is different and something is needed in that time frame. And so often, man, Christine Kane, A21, I know a lot of you that have done the Walk for Freedom. Christine came as a non-American and she didn't have a shotgun out. She had a bazooka out and blew things up. But she did it really smiling and really nice, kind of. But there'd be moments you're like, oh my gosh, that really hurt. What's interesting too is that she hit things from one generation that they're struggling with and another generation that they're struggling with and everybody in between. And I'll explain that as we go. I want to say this as we get going, and I don't say this honestly for any sympathy. You know, last year I went in a lot of pain. This year I went in pain, but it wasn't nearly as much. But what I discovered last year, because I was in so much pain, I really couldn't see anything around me. Couldn't feel anything around me. But this year, because the Lord's been healing me, I realized the pastors in North America are shattered. Shattered. I could feel the pain. You could hear the pain. The one gentleman that got up to speak was Nathan. He's from Redding, California, the Stirring. He shared a story and I thought, oh Lord, there's such deep level pain in people. But he shared this story. Hopefully it's okay. You know, it was being taped, so I'm sure it was. He said, you know, for years, him and his wife, and they've been pastor, I think, for 17 years. He said, we'd always have people over to play games. We have game night and we invite different people and we get to know these people. We become friends with these people. We do ministry with these people. And he said, the last time we did it, just recently before we came, he said, at the end of the night, I could tell my wife was just not the same. I could tell that she was really struggling. And at the end of the night, they kind of got together after everybody left. And he's like, honey, what's wrong? And she looked at him. She said, Nate, I don't know if I can do this again. I don't know if I can give my heart away again to people. Because he said, everybody that's ever gotten to their game night, they've all left the church. And I don't think it's the games. It's simply the season that they've been in. Whether it's COVID or different things, it's California, there's just a lot of different things. And what he began to realize is all of them talked about the last 3 years that they've been trying to battle things that have nothing to do with the gospel. And everybody's heart was like, can we get back to Jesus and seeing people get saved? And as the whole week went, you could see and feel the pain of people. And I could go through story after story, but all of a sudden as the week went, there is this cry of, we just want to get back to Jesus and see people get saved. And the worship increased and the people on their knees crying out to God, like, we just want Jesus. Amen. How many want Jesus? Are you at Exodus? Exodus 33. I'm trying to get there myself. Did a lot of soul searching. One of the things I asked myself, Lord, what started it all for me? Every one of you have a story of where Jesus came in and what it started and where you went. You know, Steve and I have a story. I remember getting that phone call from your mom. Would you take my son camping with you? We were doing a camp. One of our youth camps, and Steve was just going through a time and turning your heart back to God, I think, already. And so I knew Steve from growing up, and I thought, Steve coming on our trip, that'd be cool, I think. And Steve came, and we've been reconnected ever since. Journey that he's been on. God has plans for all of us to be reconnected and people out there to be reconnected with God. Amen? Exodus 33. Verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, so this is Moses. They've just come out of slavery, out of Egypt. Then Moses said to the Lord, you say to me, bring up these people. but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I might find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. It's got to be a heart cry. If we're returning to anything right now, our heart needs to return to, Lord, show me your way and show me your face. If I can encourage anything, if we could get back to the simplicity, and we did it today in worship, Lord, what else do we have? But we're just going to throw up our hands and worship you. Lord, we just want to show me your face, Lord. I want to be close to you. If you've ever been distant from anybody you love, isn't that the thing you want most? Lord, I just want to get back to being close. That connection, if it's your wife, I just want to get close to that connection again. If you're married, I'm sure all of you, I hope, had the encounter at, you know, when I met Krista, I couldn't not call her. From the day that we connected and the day that I gave her my number and she gave me hers, we had phones back then plugged into walls, right? So you had to get somewhere. And I remember we met in Toronto. That's where we officially got to know each other. She gave me her number. And I remember driving all the way from Toronto thinking, when I get home, I can't wait to call her because I didn't have a cell phone. And I remember getting through the door and she's thinking, because she was in high school, I was in university. She's thinking, there's no way this university's guy's gonna call me. I remember getting home, putting my stuff down, saying hello to my parents and picking up that phone because she had left early. So it had been a bit of a time. And I called her and we talked for hours. You know what I did the next day? I called her and we talked for hours. You know those days when back then you'd almost fall asleep on the phone because you just keep talking? And I remember we went out. And we went. I went to Promise Keepers, and I really got touched at Promise Keepers. It was probably one of the first season changes in my life to go, you know what, I'm really going to go after God. And I remember thinking, I just started to date this girl. She's going to think I'm a nutcase. But I'm like, I'm going to go and lay it all out. So I went and took her for coffee, and I still remember, what was I doing, hon, while we were talking? I was so nervous. I was rolling Kleenex into balls, little pieces. I didn't even realize I was doing it. So by the time I was done, like I had snow around my coffee cup. And we just talked and talked about Promise Keepers. And I told her what it was like. And at the end, she went, I really like that. I want to experience something like that too. But I still to this day could stare into her eyes and we can go on trips and just spend time together. But that's what God wants, like the first time we ever met him. Isn't it? And what has happened over the last little while that the Lord wants us to return from is that I figure with pastors, the only thing he can do, a lot of pastors are sold out, but pain can crush you and get you out. A lot of other things can't, but pain can. And for people I'm noticing that are not in ministry, it's distractions. There are so many things from keeping us. Like, what keeps us from face to face? Yeah, Rod, I'll do it. Yep, for sure. You have a good time? Uh-huh. How was your weekend? Lions game was good, eh? But that happens all the time. Go to a restaurant and watch young couples, watch young groups. They're talking like this. They're not really they're not really looking at each other. So it's distractions. And one of the things that I love when we were at this conference, I thought, oh my gosh, this is an election year and I'm going to America. This is dangerous. I never even thought about it until I got there. And then, of course, you see the news. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is an election year. And I was so thankful that they put that all aside. And actually, they got to a point, they said, politics is not our savior. Jesus is our savior. They threw it out the window. Some of them even did more than that. They blew it up. But they're like, can we just get away from this? Because a man today, living is not our savior. The man Jesus who did live is our savior. Because we're only talking about a quick time cycle because we don't know what the next cycle is going to be. So you have Moses here and he's like, man, you got to show me who's going to come with me. You got to show me your presence. And in verse 14, he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. How many would like those two things, God's presence and rest? Anybody else? In a season that's very unrestful, I want God's presence that brings his rest. How many could feel rest and peace enter the room today? Amen. I was so proud of you guys. You like just jumped right into that song because it's an odd song. Even as we're practicing, it's like, oh, you guys actually jumped into it better than we did. So praise the Lord. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. That's got to be so ingrained in us. It's got to be ingrained in us as pastors. If his presence does not go with us, we don't want to go. Right? Listen, if we could build this church and have thousands of people in it, but his presence doesn't go with us, what's the point? Now, growth is something that we should desire. It's a natural outcome. I met Krista. I fell in love with Krista. There is a growth process that happens. You are fruitful and you multiply. That is the same in the spirit. You should come to Jesus. You should be evangelistic. You should lead people to the Lord. This church should grow. But what if we did all these things? A.W. Tozer said, you know, we've come into this place, and this is in the 60s he wrote this. He said, we're trying to be like the world, and our best productions are no better than the local theater. And he said, they're not going to come in for our mediocre plays. But the fire and presence of God is one thing that we have that people should want. And they can't experience that at the theater, but they can when they come into a body of believers. Amen. So he says, then if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Do you realize what he's saying? Right before him is the promised land and the desert. Promised land, desert. And he literally is saying to the Lord, listen, if you're not going to go with us, keep us in the desert where it's hard and it's difficult, but I'd rather be here than in the promised land if you're not going to be there. It's a pretty bold statement. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon this earth, face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. And I always love this. His response, his glory is, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I love that. Lord, show me your glory. I'm going to show you my goodness, which is my glory. Amen? So our first desire has to be face-to-face. We're going to go through one more scripture. I know time's getting late. Turn to Isaiah. This is the scripture. We all know it. Isaiah 43. When I said, it's begun, have a clean, clear slate. So with the older group, I really felt like they were targeting the pain in pastors that have been pastoring. So they also had associates and youth pastors, worship pastors there. There's a younger generation that they began last year, but they began to break down this thing. Christine Kane said it, unbelievable. Christine Kane said, listen, where I grew up, a lot of people become pastors because they go into it nowadays to be an influencer and to have a career. She said, when I became a pastor, she said, it wasn't a career, it was a calling. And when I became a pastor and chose that calling, she said, my family did not talk to me for 3 years, no one. She comes from a Greek Orthodox tradition. She says, my big fat Greek wedding is my family. And she says, nobody talked to me for 3 years. And I knew that that would happen when I said yes to the Lord. Nowadays, people are trying to have positions of influence on the internet, and they're counting how many followers they have instead of the calling that's supposed to be on their heart. So they were targeting it all. And it was not done in a mean way. It was simply like, church, we got to get back to the fire of God's presence, or else we're going to miss it for North America. We got to get back to his presence. In Isaiah 43, we want a blank slate. I want you to look at this. Let's start at verse 16, Isaiah 43. They are in captivity at this point, the Israelites. this is a prophetic word towards them, but also towards the Messiah. But it says, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horses, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished and they are quenched like a wick. They're referring at this point to what God did with the Israelites as they are coming out of slavery and they went through the sea and the sea collapsed on the chariots. They're referring to what God did. This is what God did. But it's interesting. I've never seen this. And I'm just repeating something that hit my heart with Christine Kane preaching. She said, look it. But then it says, verse 18, what we know well, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me. And it goes on. She said, it's very interesting. If you don't know the Israeli culture, if you don't know Israel, everything in the Israelite, the culture is actually based on remembering. That's why they do the Passover meal. It says they must do the Passover meal to remember what God did. And then it even refers to the fact that, hey, you were in slavery and you were, had no place to go. But man, I opened up the seas and I swallowed the chariots. But then it says, do not remember the former things. Behold, I'll do a new thing. And what I did not realize is so often, and I thought this is so true, every generation is looking backwards instead of looking forwards to what God wants to do. And there's a statistic that's very true. They say usually the ones that had the last move of God fight the next move of God. Did you know that? Because they think their move of God was the move of God. And so when it looks a little different, they go, that can't be the move of God because it's not our move of God. And it's interesting in this scripture, it's talking about how you went through dry land. And so you the waters opened up so you could go through dry land. And then it says, behold, I'll do a new thing. There'll be rivers in the desert. It's actually the opposite of what happened. So there was water. I opened it up so you can go on dry land. Now there's no water, but I'm going to put water into the desert. The point she was trying to make, and if you look at it, over and over again in scripture, Moses comes up and it's a burning bush, gets his attention. Gideon is pressing in a place that he was hiding. He was hiding in this place and an angel shows up to Gideon. You think of story after story. There's a blind man. He spits, heals the blind man. Like Jesus continually does it different. He does it different in the Old Testament. The reason for that is because he knows our nature. We are going to try to make a method out of everything that he does. And the problem with that is that a method is never face-to-face. Because face-to-face is, Lord, what are you doing today? Because if I try to do what you did yesterday, it may not work today. And he's saying it to a group of people over and over again because a lot of people in that room, and you could hear the corporate sigh. They say North America, including Canada, is notorious to go, what's working over there? I'm going to do that. Oh, what's working over there? I'm going to do that. Oh, that revival's happening. It was interesting. And I'm not saying that it wasn't God, but it was interesting last year when they had the, what was the movement in the college? Asbury. And I thought it was interesting that part of it was hunger, but you could hear different places and they're like, oh, it's breaking out here. And I think there was a portion of that, but I also think there's a, well, they're doing it, so let's do the same thing and hope it happens with us. Instead of they sought God's face and it happened, and another group needs to go, we're seeking God's face too, and it's happening this way. Because what we do here has to be for what God has planned for us here, which won't work for somebody else in another nation because they're having their own circumstances. For some churches, if they did this, they would split the church. And it's like, well, the church down there did it and it worked really well, but did God ask you to do that? Right? It's the point I'm trying to say is, church, that God has said, it's begun. We need to have an absolutely clear slate to go, Lord, what have you begun? You've begun something. What is it that you've begun? And how do our hearts get ready for that without going, oh, this is what he's going to do? Because there's a lot of pressure at times to go, well, are we going to do all the conferences again? Are we going to worship like that again? Are we going to minister like that? No, It's a new season. It's a new day. He is doing something. Our role is to lean in, to hear him face to face and go, Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to keep my gaze on you. But what is it you're doing in this hour? And how do we be a part of it? Amen? And it's also then to go, oh, look at the church down the road and how they're leading that church down the road. That's so amazing. Because what do? We criticize the next church. Well, they're not doing what we're doing. I used to get confused about that. Now I realize they have a unique calling with a specific set of people, and God's going to lead them a specific way. God's going to lead this group over here. Now, obviously, scripturally, we got to gather around some very key points, but there's other things that we fight about. It's like, why are we fighting about that? He's doing a new thing. That's exciting, isn't it? You know, Bruce and I, we've talked. You know, you wanted your miracle to come a certain way. And I think anybody in your situation, when you're diagnosed with cancer, you would have wanted that. And yet he took you on a journey, and now you can go, behold, he did a new thing. So often we want the same miracle the same way, and the Lord's like, just lean into me. Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. So what's the key for us? Exactly what we've been doing. Haven't you felt your heart drawn back into deeper places of worship lately? Anybody? Is it just me? A few people. Okay. I really feel like in this hour, he is simply asking us to go, will you say yes? And that's what I had to do a lot of at the conference. I had to say, Lord, here's a funny moment. There was one gentleman that spoke the very last night, and he was intense, like kind of like an old school preacher intense, like I'm afraid to get near this man type of intense. So there's some things on my heart, and there was a gentleman that was up there all weekend, at different times, and I thought, oh man, I really like his heart. It fits my heart. He's gentle. He's not going to kill me. And so this last night, I really felt like I just needed to get before someone. There was no prayer the whole time we were there. You may have somebody put a hand on you beside you if it was like one of those moments, hey, turn to your neighbor. But there was never an altar call. Some people on the last day went up. And to be honest with you, I thought this is more about what I'm saying to God right now than it is about some man laying hands on me. I was having face-to-face encounters with God. But at one point, I'm like, I just need to go and talk with this gentleman. I'm going to talk to that guy because he's gentle. So Chris, I'm going to be back in a second. I make my way over there. And then he's over here. And so I walk down the aisle. I'm waiting to get close by. I close my eyes for a minute. As I open them, the scary guy is right there. I'm like, I don't want him. That's not the guy that I want. I want the gentle guy. But you know, God knows what you need. Behold, I'll do a new thing. I was kind of like, no, I like the old thing. And it's interesting because in that minute, I just, you know, we had literally a 20-second conversation. I shared my heart. He shared his quickly in a very awesome way. And then he just prayed for me and left. Just know that God wants the best for you. I remember Krista when she first came to our church. I don't know, Claude, if you remember this, but trying to remember her name. I brought Krista to our first, like one of our services in our basement at our house, yellow shag carpet. It was the ugliest carpet around. There was nothing beautiful about, you know, maybe back then it felt a little, but it wasn't today modern churches. And was it Glady Warburton? She brings this message, like Krista's first time. And she's bringing this message about seeing demons in the house and like all these scary things. I'm like, well, there goes my girlfriend. That was a short-lived relationship. See, she left already. Yeah. She has to get something done. But I thought, this is it. Like, there's no way she's going to, like, put her heart close to God. I remember afterwards we're talking, and I'm like, you know, so what'd you think? She's like, it was great. I said, what? Wasn't that a difficult message, you know? And I started to tell her. She's like, what are you talking about? She didn't hear any of it. God opened her ears to hear exactly what she needed to hear, and everything else she didn't hear. Yeah. It was absolutely God, and she actually grew closer, and then she accepted the Lord as her Savior on her own. I think around her, I don't even know when it was. She just said, "Lord, you're real." And she was Catholic, but she's like, "I want a deeper relationship." And I'm like, that moment that I worried so much about, God took care of it. So I'm going to draw us back to this point. Two things, face to face, going after God. I think two parts must happen. See, if we just did this every week and did face-to-face and never worried about the world, we would miss it. Because face-to-face should lead us to caring about the world. Again, see, Moses, his only point was, "Lord, if you don't go with me, I don't want to take these people. We'll just stay right here. But if you come with us, I'll take the people and we'll go do what you want us to do in the promised land." It has to be this two-part to go, "Lord, you're doing a new thing. I want to see you face-to-face. Now, Lord, lead me to whoever you want me to go to." Because listen, the world needs Jesus. You just do this every day, you run the risk of becoming a social club or worse, a cult, where you just don't think about anybody else. And what should keep our heart tender is everybody else. And seeing people. And then the response has to be, "Lord, we're coming back to you face to face because I don't know what to do with them, but I get to you face to face. The glory comes on me." And what happens when Moses comes off the mountain? He was shining so bright that everybody saw. They're like, "Dude, put a blanket or something over your face." What if we actually got so close to God face to face that people are like, "What is going on in your life? You are so different." I personally believe that's what it's supposed to be. That we're supposed to get around the fire. You ever been around somebody that's been around the fire? They turn and hug you and you're like, "Whoo, you are hot." It's because they've been around the fire. We need to get around the fire. And they smell like smoke. There's a lot of pastors there that smelled like smoke. And it was both the fire of God and the pain that they've gone through. But I'll tell you, I'll close with this. I have such hope for North America after I watched those pastors and myself because there was such a heart's cry to get before the Lord. There was no, like, you got to realize this is a group of people that come together, and a lot of times, like, this is Jesus' culture. You know, Jesus' culture has done thousands of people in a stadium. Like, I think the one time I went to, it's got to be, what, 40,000 people there? Like, it was massive. Like, this is Jesus' culture. And yet they were there just as worshipers. I'll share one story and then I'll close. I know I've said that a couple times. But I want to, when I say pain, like, I really mean pain. As we are there, the Lord is not, I thought about this today. The Lord knows what he's doing. I know, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, sometimes we forget that. I had a chance about 5-6 years ago. I'm not going to say a name, but I remember I was at Bethel. And maybe this is actually going back 10 years ago. I remember worshiping at one point. I looked over and this very famous worship leader was beside me. And being overly excited and somewhat insecure, I thought how cool this was. I remember worshiping right alongside. I didn't sing. I let them sing, you know. I remember I wanted to turn at some point because they said, "Everybody turn to somebody." I thought, my opportunity. As I went to turn, they turned the exact same way. So they're talking to the other person. I'm like, "Oh, that didn't work out." And then through a series of events, his life blew up. Not his fault at all. And I saw him at this conference. And my heart broke because the man that was beside me is not currently there. I watched this famous worship leader. I couldn't even tell. Kristen, I'm like, "Is that him?" And we finally realized, yeah, that's him. That's definitely him. He looked different. He was fragile. He kind of did this a lot. He was flipping through his phone at times. And at one point, they did a song that I know he led with such incredible power. Like, it's one of my favorite moments on a worship album. And as they began to sing it, I watched him. He had a group of friends, and I watched him go into his friends and sit down. I don't know what he was doing. My hunch is he was probably crying because he is broken through some really hard things that happened in his life. In that moment, as a church, I need you to know the one thing that I said yes to the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to heal leaders and pastors. I want this to be a house where people can come in and be as raw as they need to be and as ugly as they need to be. And a group of people so in love with Jesus and so secure and so aware to go, listen, whatever you're going through is a symptom. You may be into this and you may be into that, but this is a symptom. You're broken and God wants to heal you. And we will be here for that. Because as I watched that young man, I thought, Lord, I want a place where they can come in, whether it's a conference or something, I don't know, but I want a place where they can come in and go, I just need to get healed. And I know a body of believers that are so secure that your junk is not even going to phase them. And you're going to get healed if you come. Can't you dream about being that church? Whether it's people we know that are famous, it doesn't really matter. I'm just talking about people that are just, they're like a step away from quitting ministry or quitting whatever they're about, like whatever they're involved in, they're going to quit because they are so broken. I thought, at one point I thought, Lord, if you will allow me, I would love to go pray for this man, but the Lord did not allow it because my heart broke for him. You would know him. He's been on albums. He is famous. And he was a shell of a person because of the pain that he's gone through. Let's pray for him now. Can you understand that the Lord could give us that opportunity if we say yes to that? Because our prophetic words say that. The Lord has said over and over again, he would bring people to get healed in this house. But we as a body need to say yes. I needed to say yes first. Because you can't say yes and me say no. Well, I guess I could, but that I may not be here anymore. Because the Lord will have his way. He knows what he's doing. So why don't we stand together? I think it's a great idea. Let's pray for this man. Because what he was in is simply a symptom of all the pain that he's gone through. And I'm telling you, I can't even, if I can make you understand the pain in the pastors that have lost people that they have loved dearly. The last man that got up, he said, you know, the last 3 years, every one of our dreams have died of what we thought God was going to do. That's why we have to believe that there's a new thing happening. So Lord, we lift up that man. Lord, you birthed him in glory. He was raised in it. Lord, you have used him to set generations on fire. And Lord, we are reaching in. We are stepping right now through our prayers, because of our prayers. We are stepping into the place that you've called us to be in. Lord, you've said this house would be not just an apostolic resource center. You said this house would be a place where people could come to be healed. Lord, so right now we say yes to that destiny and calling, and we step into that place for this young man. And even though we may not see him or he may never step foot here, we reach out in the spirit because in the spirit there is no distance. And we say over that young man, be healed in Jesus' name. We break off all trauma of what you have gone through. We break off all the symptoms that you have been dealing with to numb yourself. We break it off in Jesus' name. And right now, corporately together, we call him into who he is called to be. The fullness that he is as a worshiper leader, as a writer of songs that the world has sung over. Lord, we just call him back into his destiny and we say, be healed in Jesus' name. And Lord, if you allow it, as you have proclaimed it and prophesied it, Lord, would you make this a house of people so secure that, Lord, we wouldn't do what I did in the early days where I would oogle and Google at who was beside me. But Lord, would you make us so secure that no matter who walks through the doors, we can see them for who they are, not what they've done. And you would say, Lord, would you heal them? Would you spend time with them? Would you be willing to see them healed? And Lord, we say that not just for those that are famous, we say that for those that are on the streets and have no fathers and mothers. Lord, may we be a mature people not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, that we would keep the simple things simple and go after your presence, and Lord, would you bring them in to get healed? And whether they stay for a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade is up to you, but Lord, would you give us the ability to see them healed? And Lord, we just declare as a people that, Lord, we want to go after your face. Because, Lord, we say, if you don't go with us, what's the point? So, Lord, I thank you that you are stirring. You are not stirring us to do something. You are simply stirring us to be who we're called to be. So we can run where you're calling us to run. And behold, he is doing a new thing. So, Lord, we remember what you've done, and we say thank you. Come on, church, we remember what you've done, and we say thank you for the years you allowed us to do it a certain way. But, Lord, just as I got this book in July of 2023, and I wrote on there, time to dream again, Lord, I thank you. It's a new day with a new slate. I thank you. You're going to take the prophetic words that we have, and you're going to weave them into the new. But Lord, we don't look back. We look forward to what you want to do. Everyone agreed, said yes and amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.